The question was, when you achieve this state and you actually actually get into an animal or get into a state of communication with an animal that's so close that you're both aware of it, is the animal, in this case a cat, aware that you are there?
Yes, very much so. The simplest explanation I can give you is that they're going to pick up the pictures in your mind. So if you're asking them a question, you're sending a particular frequency. Now, let's say that we have an animal on the stage, and I'm going to ask the group, let's ask this cat, what are you afraid of? They send the frequency of fear. They go into the body, the energetic body of the animal, maybe the memory banks of the animal, and I say, write down the first thing that comes to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is this cat in love? You're going to send them the frequency of love, of the joy of seeing another cat that just makes your heart sing. Write down the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
So this is how we teach the class. You send them fear. Fear is a frequency. It's a wave of energy. You go into that library of records, which is their body. You locate that particular experience, which is almost like walking into a Blockbuster video store and saying, I'm going to look for this particular movie. Now, what traumatized this dog? I'm going to pull that record down and read it. So that's how we can find particular pieces of information. It's by sending different frequencies. We send loneliness, we send sadness, we send are you grieving, we send what makes you happy, what's your favorite activity. We can ask anything about their food, their medicine. Does the medicine have some sort of other reaction? Does it give you a headache? Does it upset your stomach? Okay, so the idea there is that it's almost like being a dolphin. Another way to look at this is that we're developing our sixth sense. We're sending a laser beam, like a flashlight, into the animal's experience to ask a question. It's going to light up the holographic experience that matches the frequency of the feeling.
Okay.
So we can ask anything about their emotions or their history or their relationships.
Can I ask you this? I understand that many times you're looking for, I don't know, something that might be physically bothering an animal or something that emotionally is bothering an animal. But I've always sort of wanted to know, take a generally healthy cat, for example. We all know what our daily thoughts are like. They're busied and full of taxes and all the rest of the things that this time of year brings. But what about a cat? What is a cat's kind of daily
thinking?
Oh,
I'm going to make you ask yours, Art. When you get home today, I'm going to make you ask yours.
I'm going to give it a try, but right now, I'm asking you.
All right, cats are a very different breed because they're asleep 90% of the time.
That's true.
All right, so this isn't like a squirrel or any sort of an animal, or an elephant, or an animal that's awake and busy and very present in the world. The cat is already walking between worlds. They're our most mystical creatures on this planet.
Well, they're nocturnal, and so am I. So I'm generally awake when they're very awake and playing in the middle of the night. I keep the same hours my cats do, put it plainly. And so I've always been kind of curious what a cat, you know, a generally healthy cat, thinks about.
They're all individual. And they all think about things. I think one of the biggest paradigm shifts is how similar all of our experiences are on this planet. That we're all experiencing very similar things. I mean, I have so many stories and so many things I want to tell you. I'll give you a for instance. When I was in South Africa, I went to a cheetah sanctuary. And I went into the pen of each cheetah and asked a whole series of questions, and I had national news on me, so I was under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I went into the pen of a cheetah named Joseph, and I said, what's going on? Are you okay? And he said, no. And I said, what happened? and I got a wave of sadness. Okay, that's the emotion. That's called clairsentience, clear sensing in Latin, where we can feel the emotion. Then I take it a step further. What's attached to this emotion? I saw a female cheetah. I said, okay, what's her name? I hear the name Charlie. Then I saw two cheetah cubs, and he said, they got sent away. I said, okay, where'd they go? He said, up north. I went, okay, I think I know where that is. It's a different cheetah sanctuary. Why did they send your mate away? Because they're breeding her with somebody else.
Mm.
I said, tell me something funny. Tell me something crazy that you eat that no one would ever believe that you like to eat. And he said, squash. Tell him I love the squash. I said, okay, that's ridiculous, because I know for a fact that cheetahs don't eat squash. I said, well, what do you do for fun? What's your favorite activity? He said, tell him I love the baby bottles that they tie on the ribbon. All right, now, one of the properties of telepathic communication, the way that you know you're not manufacturing it, that it's coming in from the outside, speed. Now, when the telephone rings and you know who's on the other line before you pick it up, and you go, oh, that's my mother, it breaks your normal thinking process.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thinking process that you're manufacturing has a rhythm. Now, when it's non-local information, it's simultaneous. All of a sudden, bang, your mother comes into your mind, or you smell her perfume, or you hear her voice, or you hear her calling your name, or you in your own mind say, oh, that's my mother. Same thing, something's wrong with someone that you love. When you sense there's a traffic jam, you shouldn't go this way, you should go that way. It happens incredibly fast. The second property is that you couldn't have made that up. I wouldn't have told the African National News that the cheetah said that he likes to eat squash and play with human baby bottles, because I don't want to make a fool out of myself on national television.
Sure.
So the quality of left field, that it's so strange. You ask the dog his favorite food, and he says, cream cheese on a bagel. And the person says, oh, I gave that to her last night. So that's the second property. The third property is the level of emotion. If you're with an animal and you get hit with a wave of sadness, or you suddenly get a pang in one of your teeth, and you go, whoa, I should have this cat's teeth checked.
Mm-hmm.
Or you feel their nausea, or you feel the pain in their lower back.
How do you delineate between what the cat's feeling and the same problem remote viewers have and your own imagination?
Because you check your instrument first. If you are a completely clear instrument, let's say that you don't have a bad knee, or let's say that you do, and you're aware of that, so you log that information. Then we ask the donkey on the stage. This really happened in London. Incredible story. I had 150 people in a room, and we had a donkey on the stage. And the owner said to me, the guardian, is the donkey in any pain? I look out, and I ask the question. I look out into the audience, and dozens of people had one hand over their left jaw. And they were all kind of going, ow. You know, it was really obvious. Then I started walking around, and three people in the audience had drawn something that looked like a little lightning bolt. Now, this is getting to the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they're making mud mountains in their living room. You know that scene from Closing Encounters.
Yes, of course.
Now, I experience this on a daily basis, that we'll get a group of people and half of them will come up with the same name. They'll say, oh, this cat's favorite other cat is named Baxter. Or, you know, they get something very similar. So I'm used to this. Well, in this case, I asked the group, what happened to the donkey? All these hands go up and they say, her lower jaw on the left side still hurts, one of her teeth is broken. And then the guardian of the donkey said that her horse had kicked the donkey in the mouth, had broken one of her teeth on the lower left side. She'd seen a vet three times, and her question was, is the donkey still in pain? Now, that's how available it is.